Okay, we're going to go ahead and starting here. We're in Revelation 22, and I will say we're going to finish the book today, God willing. Revelation chapter 22, I'm going to take the time to read through it. We'll pray, and we'll break it down, unpack it. How's that? And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit and yields her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night. There shall be no night there, and there shall... They shall need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he saith unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. He which testify these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Father, I pray as we look into your word, you'll illumine, you'll give us understanding, insight. And Lord, you would speak to our hearts and tell us the things that would bless us, the things that you want us to know. Challenge us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. He showed me a pure river of water. Now, we're talking about, let's go back to chapter 21, verse 1. I saw a new heaven and new earth. First heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Everything you know, earmarked for destruction, as we're very fond of saying. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Incredible in beauty. Well, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Stunning is what John's trying to get his mind around, trying to, you know, share with us what it looked like. So this is a continuation of that. So we're in we looked at the walls of the gates of pearl, we looked at the streets of gold, we looked at the foundations, all that. It's all enumerated for us in chapter 21. And then in chapter 22, we're continuing. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne and out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Reminds us of Ezekiel, in the millennial kingdom, in the temple, there will be water coming out from under the altar, and it will go towards the Dead Sea and towards the Mediterranean Sea. You remember that. We've looked at that in the past, and we've looked at it in our Wednesday night studies. Here, that's all done away with. Remember, there's no more. Chapter 21, there was no more sea in the end of the verse. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So there's no more water of any type, right? No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying there's no more ocean, but there is a river of life. And I would probably suspect there were lakes and rivers and things and streams, but I don't know all that. But there is a water, a river of life, right? In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there's a tree of life. Now, how, Adam, how does a tree grow on both sides of a river? I have no idea. Okay, you know, I kind of picture it in my mind. You know, they used to have that back when they used to do things like cut holes in trees and have people drive them. Great big sequoias that are like 14 feet across, and they cut a, you know, a hole, and people used to drive. And I'm picturing the, you know, this like big tree that grows. It's so big, it's like the roots over here and roots over here, and there's a river right through it. I don't know, right? I think it'll be beautiful and breathtaking because everything that God makes is. Everything God makes that's outside of the curse is. So what I'm reading and what you're reading, and we have this street, right? And on either side of the river, there's a tree of life. And the tree of life bear 12 manners of fruit, 12 manner of fruits, I should say, and yield her fruit every month. How do you have a tree that has different fruit on it? This is like the fruit of the month club par excellence. It's like, you know, so what do you like? Well, I don't like bananas. Well, hang on. Papaya's coming up next month. It'll be great. And I have and these are like, what do you think? It's fruit that we already know about, or is it fruit that we've never seen before? I don't know. I know God. You know, I've said this before. What are taste buds for? That's kind of like one of those Cadillac kind of things, isn't it? Like, thanks, Lord. I appreciate so much taste buds. And then he gave us garlic and onions. And he gave us, you know, what? What is your flavor that you love so much? And and here he gives us these flavors. And thank you, Lord. I've said this before, you know, a cow's a big animal. It eats grass. I wonder if cows are like, do cows have taste buds? It's like cows saying like, hey, come over here, Fred, the grass over here is amazing. Like, you know, they just eat grass all day. And they're like, but we have taste buds. And we have spice rack. He's a good God. And so I have an idea that whatever this fruit is, I don't like fruit. You will. You know what I mean? What do you think? It'd be miserably, miserable eternally. God doesn't know how to. I always say this, in this fallen, cursed world, God knows how to bless me. When the curse is removed, and it will be, we'll see that next verse, he knows how to bless me. 12 manner of fruit, and it yields its fruit every month. So you got to like be there when it yields fruit, and you're going to be elbowing people, you know, going to be. No, this, everything God does is plenty, and his blessings are more than you can take up. You remember, what do we got? 2 to 3 million people in the wilderness coming out of Egypt, going to the promised land, and it rains down. And so, like, you know, Moses blows whistles, yells, go, and everyone runs out there. No, there's plenty for everybody. Of course, that's the way God always does it, right? And the leaves of the tree were for the healings of the nation. Why do nations need to be healed? Why does, I mean, if you don't eat the leaves or boil them down to some medicinal tea or something, you're going to get sick in the king. I don't know. But it does, the word, by the way, healing, it means therapy. Is this one of the ways that we're, because you got to remember, we're physical now. We're physically resurrected. We're not spirit. We're physical beings that will live forever and ever in this body. You get like super, super old. There's no night there. There's no days. There's no time. We're living outside of time. You don't get old. All that for another, but somehow, some way, that we have a tree that has leaves, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse. I'm looking forward to that. And all the effects. Say, what is a symbol of curse? Well, thorns, remember? Weeds. Garden's getting away from me. I'm working too much. So I went out the other night and I got some wood pellets delivered. So I've taken a ton of wood pellets from outside and put them inside the garage and, you know, stacking them all up. And she thought I was going out to the garden. So she come out, give me a hand. And so I started doing that and she started pulling the weeds. You got wheelbarrows full. It's like, it's not that big a garden. It's just like, oh, amazing. Just, you know, it just, who did that? I didn't plant weeds. They're all there. Imagine having a garden, never having to weed it again. That's wonderful, but the effects of the curse are this. Look at basically the news. In this eternal Jerusalem, in this new earth, new heavens and new earth, is there going to be such a place as Afghanistan? Will Marines be and service people be killed? Will there be Taliban? Will there be armies fighting ideological wars, fighting for power, for control? Will there be, and all the things that go with that? No. In the kingdom, before this, remember Jesus, they're going to turn their spears into pruning hooks, their swords into plowshares. Neither shall they learn war anymore. When God has it his way, war is a thing of the past. I'm not disrespecting our servicemen, servicewomen, of whom I am one in the past. I'm sorry that there has to be that. When God has it his way, there's going to be no more curse. You watch the evening news. Man moves in a neighborhood. Neighbor brings pie, welcomes them. I mean, it's going to be about... Think about all things that happen on the news. Those are all bad things. Those are all effects of the curse. We're going to have drive-by shootings in New Jerusalem eternally. I don't think so. Racism? Certainly not. Hatred of any sort? No. And we'll see that. If I get moving, we'll see that. No more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. So you got business. You got to attend to God. He's just going to hang around in a Baco lounger all day in a hammock. And I think there's work to be done. But you've got to remember something. Work came before the fall. He makes Adam and Eve, and he puts them in the garden and says, okay, till it, grow things, and he's the husbandman, I should say, a grower, a farmer. I love that. I think that's a wonderful thing. Before the curse, imagine farming when there's no weeds. You can work and be very productive, and what? A blight, a sandstorm, none of that. None of that. Sandstorm. What am I thinking of? Anyway, none of that. I was kind of thinking of the Oklahoma Dust Bowl, so I kind of went off on a tangent. Mind is a terrible thing. Anyway. No more curse. But we still have work. I think that's a good thing. Work only became hard thing. You know, in the sweat of your brow, you're going to make your bread. You're going to eat your bread. It only became a hard thing after the curse. I like work. Everyone at work is saying to me, when are you going to get done? Like I'm 1,000,005 or something. I'm like, I kind of feel like I'm productive. I feel like I can help. I feel like I want to be here, you know, and they're all trying to get rid of me or something. I don't know. And they shall see his face. The pure in heart shall see God. They shall see his face. What can be said? And his name shall be in their foreheads. Well, I don't know if I like that. I'm going to get like, it's going to say Jesus up here in like Times New Roman, big block letters, and mine will be in Comic Sans, no doubt, or something. I don't know if I want that. Listen, relax. Nothing that God has for us is objectionable. I mean, it's not. You know, during the time when people take the name of the Antichrist in their forehead and their right hand, we're sealed in our forehead as well. The people are here who are, but it, I don't know if it's something you could see. I don't know. I mean, but I'm not like nerved up, but anything God has for us is better than our plan for ourselves. Here's the whole thing. This is Christianity in a nutshell. His ways are better than our ways. That's the whole thing. This is what the Bible says we ought to be doing. This is what the Bible says that we ought to do with this relationship. This is what the Bible says we ought to do with our money. This is what the Bible says we ought to do with our work ethic. This is what the Bible says we ought to do with our marriage. This is what the Bible. And then I teach it, and then someone comes up to me, well, and they're going to tell me why they're the exception to the rule. Yeah, you're right, you're right. In your way, you're right. You know better than God. No, you're totally right. He doesn't know. He just created everything. Even when a marriage is going sideways, people will argue with me that they're right. Even when the relationships are horrible, they'll try to tell me why it's everybody's fault except theirs. Well, this is what the Bible says. Hey, apply this to your life. God who made us, this is the book. This is how you're supposed to do life. And people will still try to explain to me why, in their case, God doesn't know what he's talking about, basically. No, God's ways are always the right ways. So every time you read something like their name should be, well, I don't know if I like that. You'll love it. Trust me, all right? You will. I don't know, right? Is it a tattoo looking like? I don't know, okay? Is it just that the memory of him will always be there? Listen, I don't know, right? Let's keep moving. There shall be no night there. And we're living outside of time. Of course, it's not nights. It's not days and nights anymore. You remember the sun and the moon, they're gone, right? There shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, because there is no sun, by the way. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Is it dark there? Oh, no. The glory of God is the light. That's amazing to me. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, don't worry, we'll finish. Everyone's getting nervous. You remember in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's English, and Hebrew it says, light be. He made light. Say, so what did he make it out of? I don't even know what it is now. Look, and the evening and the morning were the third day in verse 13 and 14, and God said, now this is the fourth day, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of God to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, verse 16, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. That breaks me up. You know how many gazillions of stars? And he made the stars also. Look, day four, he makes the heavenly bodies, right? The sun, the moon, to rule the night, to rule the day. Where did light come from if there was no sun? Back in verse 3. I have no idea. I've heard people try to talk about it and stuff like this. I suspect it might be the glory of God, but you're saying he didn't create his own glory. I mean, he's glorious like water's wet. I mean, God always was, and he was always glorious, right? That's my thinking. I don't know, but there's light, and he creates it, and then 4 days later, he creates the sun. Go and figure. So when the sun's gone away, I mean, think about it, right outside, we don't have any lights outside, no street lights, no nothing like that. You can put your headlights on for safety, but you can see without them. If you drive home, you can do that. It'd be fine. Why? We have the sun. That's the light source of the earth. Isn't it wonderful? When it's taken away, we'll all be stumbling around in the dark. Not at all. There's no need. There shall be no night there, there shall be no need for candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. He saith unto me, these things are faithful and true. I love this because we've seen this twice in chapter 21. I think it was once in 21 and once here. These sayings are faithful and true. This is not pie in the sky by and by. I'm not a snake oil salesman, John's saying. These are the true sayings. This is absolutely going to come to pass. This is absolutely going to happen. It's a true saying. It's a faithful saying. I wouldn't lie to you. God can't lie. This is the word of God. Well, is there really going to be anything you come up with that's an alternate to this is an alternate. This is the reality, real reality. This is actually going to happen. He said to me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. That's what the whole book was about as we kind of go full circle. We saw that in chapter 1. Now, you've read letters, if you have a red letter Bible, verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Remember in chapter 1? Blessed is he that hear, blessed is he that reads, blessed is he that hears, and blessed is they that keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And we always read it, and we always get the hearing blessing, the reading blessing. But that's gone by at this point. Now there's only left to do. Blessed are they who keep the doing of it, the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things, and I heard them. It's overwhelming to him. So when I had heard and seen, I fell down and worshiped before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. John, you know better. You know better from last chapter. Where were you, sleeping? Come on. You don't worship angels. What do we worship? God and God alone. When I was a kid, that wasn't the truth. I worshipped a lot of things that weren't God. That's true. And I know people will argue with me about that. But you're wrong. I mean, I was there. I know what I worshipped. In Roman Catholicism, they say to the saints, dulia, to Mary, the mother of God, hyperdulia, and to God, latriuo, so they go all Latin on us. It means regard saints, super regard Mary, but worship God. I don't see the first two scripturally, but beyond all that, you worship God for sure. But the first two, the nuances are lost on the 8-year-old boy growing up in Boston who just, if it's a statue, bow down, genuflect. Aren't you still supposed to genuflect before the Pope and kiss his ring? And I'm thinking, like, if he's waiting for me to bend down and kiss his ring, he'd be waiting a long, long time. Worship God. And to ascribe worth to God, that's fine. To man, angels, my knee is reserved for God and God alone. And if you're proposing marriage again, I say, God's not jealous. If you take a knee to ask for a lady's hand and you're trying to describe to her why this horrible idea is really a good idea, and you want to take a knee, that's perfectly acceptable. I don't think God's going to be jealous about that. And it also works with, like, children. When you get down to their level, God's not jealous. Or somebody in a wheelchair, somebody in a hospital bed, and you take a knee and see it face to face. That's fine. God's not. Other than that, but you don't bow before anybody or anything, nothing except God. And I think the bowing is more of a thing of the heart. So he's bowing an angel. He's overwhelmed. He's like, wow, the angel showed me all these things, and he kneels down. And the angel doesn't like it. He says, see thou do it not. And again, that's staccato. Don't do that in the Greek. I'm your fellow servant. And of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Knock it off, John. He probably grabs him by the scruff of the neck, picks him right out. Don't you be bowing to me. I'm a servant, a fellow servant. Worship God exclusively. He saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. You remember Daniel? The end of Daniel, he says, seal up. It's not for this time. Now that we're understanding Daniel more than we ever have before, as a church, I mean, I remember like some of the things that I heard back in the day, and it was kind of like, now as it's getting like, it's crystal clear, it's less fuzzy. There were some things, and people said some things, and I'm like, I don't know about that. And now, isn't it getting like crystal clear as the day approaches? because it's not sealed anymore. And here, he's saying, don't seal this up, because why? Seal not the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So at hand, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And he's saying, yeah, if you're righteous and holy, stay. You're doing good, stay there. But wait a second. If you're unjust, let him be unjust still. Wait, what? That doesn't sound very scriptural. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen, after all this, if you're determined you're going to do it without God, okay. Okay, you're going to wallow in your filth? God is a God of free will. You go to hell because you choose to. I don't have to say any better than that. You're righteous. You're holy. Good. Keep doing that. Let him be holy still. Do you want to be like the dog returning to his vomit? Do you want to be like the swine that's washed up and goes back to wallowing in the mire? We're told about that in the book of Peter. Don't be like that. And we sure don't want to be like that. The things that you're doing that God approves of, keep doing those things. Why? Will they make you saved? No, we're going to find out. That's not the case. But you want to do the things that God wants you to do. And behold, red letters, I come quickly, my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Let's take that apart a little bit. It sounds like, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. It sounds like heaven and hell are based on what you're doing and not doing. No. Heaven's a gift. Eternal life is a gift. We know this from only a billion scriptures. So what do we do with that? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Well, I work the works of God. I do the things that God wants me to do. Jesus says, if you'll love me, you'll keep my commandments. I love him. Crazy love him. I'm obsessed with God. I'm obsessed with the Lord Jesus Christ. I call him Lord for a reason. I want to do the things. Why? So I can earn heaven? No, I'm already going to heaven because it's the right way to live, because he loves me, because he wants me to do these things, and I want to serve him. And I have understood something. To serve me equals misery. To serve him is joy and happiness and fulfillment, and then I understand what I'm here for. To try to seek your own happiness, you'll never find it. It's, look, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. You can pursue happiness all you want. It's guaranteed in the Constitution, in the Declaration, I should say. It's guaranteed, okay? It's one of our fundamental rights. You have life, you have liberty, you have the pursuit of happiness. Pursue happiness. You can pursue just politicians and unicorns. Pursue anything you want, but you can pursue happiness. But I'm going to tell you something, you'll never find it. Pursue God, you'll find, live a godly life. And the Bible doesn't say if you live a godly life, you'll find joy. But I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. You'll have, live a righteous lifestyle, and joy will come. It's just thrown in there. And you'll have righteousness. It's a wonderful thing. So be righteous still, be holy still. I'm coming quickly, my reward is with me. I'm going to give it every man according to his work. Because there are rewards that he gives. Heaven isn't a reward. Heaven's a gift. But does he give crowns? Does he give responsibilities? And we know all the stories of like the man with the 10 talents and the 10 five minas and all those stories, all those parables. They mean something. You know what I mean? They're there for a reason. He rewards us because of what we do and what we fail to do is lack of reward. And I'm happy to receive everything he has for me. I don't think I deserve anything. But I think it's a good plan all the same. He gives me a new heart. He gives me a desire to serve him. And then he rewards me for the service I rendered to him. Okay. I'll sign up. Sounds good. But like I say, at the end of the day, you know how it is that, because you know, crowns aren't a thing with me. And they aren't with most Americans. We a couple hundred years ago, some guy had a crown and he was telling us what to do. And we said, you ain't the boss of us. And you know, we celebrate our rebellion every year, and that's how we are. And I think it's in our DNA now. We don't really like to be told what to do. Boy, I'm still like that. Don't like to be told what to do. Take your crown. I don't need it and stuff. And well, God gives us crowns. And we're like, that's not, I don't see nobody wearing a crown today. What, didn't you get the memo and stuff? And he's like, but he gives us crowns. He gives us these rewards. And then we see in Revelation 4 and 5, they take their crowns and they cast them at the feet of the Lamb. And I think like, ah, wait a second. Do our crowns have to do with our capacity to worship him eternally? Give me crowns. Because I'm all about that now. It's just me making a statement. Look at me. I'm crown boy. Anyway, he gives rewards, and that's his prerogative to do. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Alpha and Omega, first letter of the Greek alphabet, last letter of the Greek alphabet. If you don't get it there, you got it, and I'm the beginning of the end. I'm the first and the last. Now, before you were, I am. And he knows the end from the beginning. So this is the way a fellow ought to live. This is what you ought to do. It drives me and Sue's crazy that we don't know what's coming down the coming next. We're talking about our finances. Should, you know, when is the retirement? Should we put our, this goal? Goal is always goal. Goal is good. Can't eat Krugerrands. Should we just stock up and we can't even put any more food in the pantry. I mean, it's just chock-a-block full of them. What do you do? And what happens if they come and they confiscate your wealth and they give you a living wage? And what about this? And what about that? And I was talking to some friends and I have all these ideas in my mind and I'm just like, oh, I don't know what to do and I don't know what to do. Oh, relax, God does. How about if I ask him and he leads me and then, because whatever we do, so friends are saying, you know, they're going to buy a car and they're going to buy a boat and they're going to buy, you know, this and this, like solid things to have, and they could always sell them. I think, well, not if you can't get gasoline. So doing something is always making a choice, and not doing something is making a choice too. And what's the right thing to do? Well, listen, if I knew it, I'd tell you. I mean, I really would. You think I'm just like, I know all this stuff and I'm not going to let you know? I don't know. Uncertain times, I don't know. Hey, wait a second. Oh, God does. Lord, lead me and guide me like you have my whole life. Have you ever prayed for wisdom, insight, and God just left you flapping in the breeze, unedited, unabetted, unaided? I mean, has that ever happened? Has that ever happened to me? He answers prayer. He tells me. He leads me. He guides me. He's good that way. I see the end from the beginning. You know, you can trust me. We walk by faith, not by sight, Scripture tells us. I don't know the end from the beginning. God says, I do. Walk with me. You're going to fall into a ditch. The blind leading the blind, they both end up in the ditch. God leading the blind, spiritually blind, we'll get there. And besides, he's given us a lot of stuff in the interim. If we just do this, we'll be pretty good. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. See, Adam, if you do stuff, you get, no. The people who do his commandments are the people who believe on him. That's all there is to it. He's saying it in a different way. I just have to do this. I was looking up earlier. John chapter, you won't follow. I'm just going to read him. John chapter 3:15, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is the will of him that sent me. And this, by the way, this says it all. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You want me to go on? I can do this for a long, long time. Why? Because the million verses in Scripture say you believe in Jesus equals life. And everyone in America is under this weird suspicion. Well, if I'm a good person. One, you're not. Two, The Bible never says if you're a good person, you're going to go to heaven. And if you're a bad person, you're going to go to hell. But everyone believes that, and there's not a shred of it in Scripture. Religion teaches that. Why do you think I'm so anti-religion? If I do this and I don't do this, God will love me. And the Bible is screaming, I love you already. I already died for you. I already want to adopt you into my forever family based on the fact that I love, not based on the fact that you do. Now, so I came to him with hat in hand saying, please save me. He said, yep. And he added me to his trophy case, to his forever family, to his adopted me. He's awesome. Can we just say that? And then I thought, with this new heart, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new with my new heart, with my new me. And I started saying, I love this God. He's awesome. He's so good. I want to serve him. I want to live for him. And then I kept his commandments. Don't put the cart before the horse. You're not going to keep his commandments to become a Christian. You're going to become a Christian. He'll give you a new heart, and then you'll want to keep his commandments. Okay? So don't ever confuse those things. If you confuse them, you go to church here, you have been just sleeping through every teaching I ever taught. Blessed they do his commandments, they may have right to the tree of life. And the people who do his commandments are the people who are saved. That's it. That they may enter through the gates into the city. Remember those gates of pearl that are never closed. St. Peter there? No, that's a trope. That's some silly... I don't know who came, so we can tell all the jokes about whatever. There really are gates of pearl, and God's never closed them. And the invitations come. For without our dogs, thank you. Look it up. It has to do with homosexuals. I don't want to go into it. Without our dogs and sorcerers, pharmakia, drug use, right? And whoremongers, just like it sounds, and murderers, and idolaters, and him who loveth and maketh a lie. Well, Adam, I'm several of those things. I kind of feel on the outside looking in. Yeah, all of us were. All of us are those things. Every last one of us. And so you say, Lord Jesus, save me. And he says, yeah, I paid the penalty for all those things. So he redeems us, he saves us, because he died on the cross. The wages of sin is death, and he gives us his life. Wait a second, let me get it straight. He takes our sin and gives us life? Yeah. Does the Bible say that? From Genesis to Revelation, and several thousand times, in several different ways, and stories and parable, and whole books are given to that subject. The whole book is about Jesus dying for us, taking our sin, and giving us life. The whole Bible is about that. Yes. And he will give us, don't try to earn it, because you never will. And we were all those things. And either he paid for them on the cross or you'll pay for them eternally. I got a problem with that. How can, so I lied and I'm going to burn eternally in hell? That doesn't make sense. Well, if the only thing you ever did was lie once, but that's not the issue. An immortal, a forever being, sinned against a forever God and the payment is forever. That's the rules. But so is eternal life and eternal damnation, the same word, eternal. You burn up? No. There's this wonderful city, but outside, there is an outside. There's unsavory people with unsavory activities, sinners, like you and like me. And God saved us. He's a good God. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. Wow. And the bright morning star. I don't know if you read things like that and you say, wow, I'm the root of David. I'm his great, 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 great. You can read that in the Gospel of Luke. You know, it says, Jesus who was born of Joseph, who was born of Jacob. Well, he wasn't born of Joseph. And it says that, of Heli, of Joseph, who was thought to be his. And it goes on. And it goes all the way back to, Abraham, and it goes back to Noah, and it goes back to the, patriarchs before the flood, all the way back to Adam, who is the son of God. And in that lineage, you'll find David, right? King David. So Jesus is here in the lineage because it's talking about his birth, and you have David here, and then you have Jesus over here again. He's the root and the offspring of David. I'm my own great-great-great-grandfather. It's crazy. But he's God. He started the whole thing, and then in the course of time, he entered into mankind. Incredible. I am the root and the offspring of David. I'm the bright and morning star. What's left? And the Spirit and the bride say, come. With all these terrible things that have happening, blood turning to water, right? Meteors falling out of heaven into the ocean, seas turning to blood, all the people in it dying, the sun turning black, all the earthquakes, all that, all the Armageddon, all that. Hey, you know what? Come on. Hop aboard before the train pulls out of the station. When's that going to happen? Soon. Missed the whole thing. You're not going to want to be here. Well, I got my brown rice and I got my water purification tablets. And you're not going to outflank God during the tribulation when he's pouring out his wrath on a Christ-rejecting world. Some will. There will be a sheep and goats judgment. Or you can just bypass the whole thing and get saved before. Chapter 4, verse 1. Is that going to happen sometime soon? Probably sooner than any of us would. Don't buy green bananas, will you? Okay. If you don't know why that's funny, you should see me afterwards. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who's the Spirit? Oh, the Holy Spirit of God. Who's the bride? You. You and me. The Church of Jesus Christ, the Bride of Christ. Let the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The word freely means freely. How much does it cost? Nothing. Wouldn't you suspect that? I mean, God wants poor people to come to heaven too, right? But beyond freely, beyond without cost, it means undeservedly. You can't deserve heaven. You do deserve hell, like me, like all of us. Whosoever will. It's a will thing. Find yourself in hell. Boy, you ran through a lot of stop signs. Oh, you tried to earn it. You went the religious route. Ugh, I'm trying to tell you, that won't work. That dog won't hunt. But whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. No cost. If you want it, here it is. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecies of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. You want me to give you an example of two? Sadducees and Pharisees. Pharisees, they added a lot. God said, don't work on the Sabbath. They said, okay, what is work? And they had it in like 18, 19 different categories. And each one of these categories had 18, 19 different subcategories. I can't think it was 18 or not. I can't remember. Anyway, God said, don't work. So, well, can I, well, how, what is work? Can I, and so they had all these rules. I've told you before. You can't take a bath on the Sabbath because if you splash water on the floor, it'll be washed on the floor. It'll be work. You can't do it. Today, in elevators, right now, today, in elevators, in like the King David Hotel in Jerusalem, like on the Sabbath, they have Sabbath elevators, stop every other floor. You can't push a button. That would be work. But they have the Gentile one. You can jump in the Gentile one. You can say to them, hey, I need third floor. Can you push the button for me? He's saying, not really. Hey, there's places in Jerusalem. You don't want to be caught driving a car on a Sabbath. You're making fire. and they will throw rocks at your car. I'm just telling you. And there was those Pharisees that just, you know, a woman couldn't look on the Sabbath, in a mirror on the Sabbath. If she saw white or gray hair, she'd be tempted to pluck it, and that would be harvesting. Do you think when God says, thou don't work on the Sabbath, do you think he's talking about women looking at mirrors or taking a bath on the Sabbath or pushing a hotel button? You really think that? Adding. And I can make 10, 20 sermons on additions to the Word of God as given to us by the Pharisees. And Jesus and the Pharisees always knocking heads. And then, of course, we had the Sadducees. Sadducees only thought the first five books of the Bible were biblical. You know, the, as we call it, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. But they didn't believe a lot of Scripture. They didn't. A lot of this was just, that's not Bible. So they're subtractors. Pharisees are adders. Which one do you want to be? I just want to take, look, there's a lot of pages here. There's a lot of truth here. There's a lot of promises here. Claim the promises, follow the commandments, believe the truth. You'll have your hands full. You don't have to add stuff. And we still have people who are adders to the Word of God, people who are just legalists. And then we have people who are just like very, you know, whatever, it's all good. We can ordain homosexuals. We can marry. We don't care whatever gender you are. As a matter of fact, it's not to this. Dozens of genders, and we'll marry any common, we don't care, it's all good, whatever. And the Word of God isn't the Word of God anymore. I don't want to be in either one of those camps. God, you said it, I believe it, that settles it. And if you want to know the truth, God said it, that settles it, whether you and I believe it or not. It doesn't change anything. But we're obliged to know it, to learn it, to love it, to walk in it. Why? Because it'll make us go to heaven? No, because I'm already going to heaven, so I want to walk in a way that's consistent with people going to heaven. Okay, he that testifieth these things say, surely I come quickly. Last red letter words in the Bible, Jesus has to say to us, hey, I'm coming quickly. Word means suddenly. Okay, quickly, it's been 2,000 years, how quick is quick? And his suddenly, like a thief in the night. Not a problem if you're sitting up waiting. Spiritually speaking, I'm coming quickly. Don't even wait. Don't you put it off. Many do. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now that's the heart of John, and I think it's our heart as well. He can't show up soon enough to suit me. How about you? Well, if you just, you know, I got this promotion at work, and I got this, anything God's got is better than what you got planned, okay? I'm just telling you. I'm going to end here, okay? I really am. We wanted our kids to grow up and have kids. Normal enough, don't you think? Everyone wants that, right? So I remember pushing our granddaughter down the street, and I say, here we go again. Another generation. And then I thought, like, well, I want her to grow up and have kids. When does that end? And I want her kids to grow up. So I want to have my great-grandkids. I want to have my great-grand... No matter when Jesus comes back, he's going to interrupt some stuff, right? Some plans, stuff like that. His stuff is better than our stuff. His plans are better for us are better than our plans for us. I'm just saying. That said, I won't put nothing... Like, I don't buy green bananas. Well... Spiritually speaking, all right? Don't put off. Don't keep, well, I'll get to it. Don't procrastinate. Don't procrastinate salvation. The sooner you get saved, the better your life is going to be immediately. I had this idea. A lot of people think, yeah, I think later, sometime later in my life, I'm going to need God. Before I die, I should probably fix things with God. But I'm going to sow my wild oats, I'm going to live my life, I'm going to have my fun. You're ridiculous. That's a lie of Satan. You don't understand anything about this book. You don't know nothing. Sin is not fun. I understand the pleasures of sin for a season. I get that. Totally get that. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. We all get that. I'm not like, Oh, yeah, he's a holy guy. He gets up and he prays every day, and he reads the Bible, and he prays some more, and it's, oh, what a horrible life. He's, no. She said, I've come that you might have life and live it more abundantly, or in our parlance, live it to the full. This is Jesus Christ. He's not come to be some cosmic killjoy and rain on our parade. He's come to give us full life. Let's pray. And our worship leaders will come up here. I'm sorry I'm over, but I wanted to finish the chapter. I want to finish the book. Our Father God, we thank you for this wonderful book. We thank you for all the time being so good to us. We thank you for this great salvation. We thank you that you've given it to us, that we didn't earn anything. And Lord, just thanks for being a good God to us all the time, for loving us, for making us part of your forever family. Lord, we appreciate so much learning these things. And we want to get to the point where, like as our Lord was saying, he's coming quickly. We want to keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Help us, Lord. Now bless us as we go and enjoy the rest of our day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.